Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, smack dab in the middle of the week, January the 24th, 2018. Finally used to saying that. 16 minutes past 12 o'clock, and we're going to have a lot of fun over the next 2 hours here, because there is certainly a lot going on in Ohio politics, and if there's somebody who knows something about Ohio politics, it is our guest today. Oh, I had a frog in my throat there. It just jumped out at me. We're joined in studio. Haven't had her in since December, and so glad to have her back today. She is really an icon. There's just no two ways to say it. A pioneer for women in politics, starting with the Elgin School Board back in the 1960s and all the way up through national office, Treasurer of the United States under President Bill Clinton. Only two people went, well, there were three national runners from Marion, but two people to go to higher office, and Harding's dead. So we're so glad to have Mary Ellen Withrow with us. You know, I was thinking the other day, Mary Ellen, in modern times, I don't know if Harding would have survived.
You know, it's always interesting to think about that, because I've thought about different people, too. And you know, another thing I've thought about is, say I had been from Cleveland, I would never have survived in coming up through the situation, I don't think.
Well, it's interesting, because what I think about is Harding had his skeletons, certainly.
Yeah.
And I think in the politics of even the 80s and 90s, those would have come out. And I don't know if he would have survived those demons all the way to the presidency.
Well, I don't know, because look at the current president. He's surviving.
he's got some things.
Yeah, a few things in his back pocket.
He certainly does. You know, his first year came to an end on Saturday, I believe it was. How do you rate his first year?
Oh, I thought it was terrible. All the countries that were our friends are looking at us and wondering what's wrong with us. And, you know, he's did away with climate control, and he's trying to start a war with North Korea, and he's going to do away with the Iran contract. And what else? He's done so many things that I just can't hardly name them all.
There was a news story today I wanted to bring up involving President Trump. The government's open for 17 days right now, I guess is the way we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And apparently Senator Schumer has said, if you don't give us DACA, we're not giving you the wall.
Yeah.
And that's the stance right now. Do you like that deal from Senator Schumer? What do you think of that?
Well, I think he's right to have things like that in his whatever he's trying to achieve. You know, I was there when the government shut down in '95, and it was down for I think over 2 weeks, and Bob Rubin was Secretary of the Treasury and was able to continue paying everything. He took it out of other funds that weren't being used. I think some of it was the unclaimed funds, and was able to carry on. And I kept thinking, I wonder if Manchin is going to be able to figure that out, because nothing was said. You know, not one word was said about that. So
I am really confused, because DACA, this is a big issue.
Oh, my. If for those poor people that are hanging loose up there, you know, they don't know what they're going to do. And everybody keeps talking about what they're going to do, and they don't do it. And, you know, it's really bad.
It's a mess. And it has to be solved before March, because I understand the deadline is the beginning of March. So somebody's going to have to budge here, and I'm not really sure. I've been asking people this. The Republicans do not like the Democrats' plan. That's why we have this gridlock. What is the Republicans' plan for DACA?
Well, I don't know. You know, the president kept changing everything as they were talking, and they don't know where he stands, do they?
You know, one day he said, whatever you put on my desk, I'll sign.
I heard that.
And then he said, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, right. Then they don't know what to do. And McConnell, he's like a fish in a fish tank. Yeah.
You know, we got news. What was it? I lose track. So much news in the last week. Today or yesterday that Joe Biden, former vice president, said in an interview, I believe it was yesterday, that Mitch McConnell blocked President Obama from saying that the Russians were hacking into the election prior to the 2016 election.
Is that right?
I don't know how he did that.
I don't know either.
But apparently Vice President Biden said that yesterday.
I didn't hear that.
I don't know how he could stop the president. Well, my understanding is, I guess, and if I'm wrong, somebody will let me know, but that Obama went to McConnell and said, we know this is happening. And McConnell said, if you go public with that, it'll look like you're handing Hillary Clinton the election. And Obama did not do it.
When was that? Do you know?
I think it was about 2 months before, about that Access Hollywood tape time, whenever that was.
That's when
Obama first became aware of it.
I tell you.
I don't think Hillary and Obama will be having dinner together anytime soon. I think that relationship might be a little more fractured again.
Well, it could be. I don't know. I tell you, I feel sorry for her, what she's gone through. And to lose an election at the end of your career, she'll never get it off of her mind, you know.
I said this the other day to somebody, and I can't remember if we've talked about this or not, but I don't understand. The biggest thing working against her in that election was the email scandal. But, you know, you email, we all email. Mm-hmm. If I send you an email, I have a copy and you have a copy. So even if I delete my copy, you still have what I sent you. So even though she, you know, smashed the laptops and whitewashed all her emails, which was the story, what about the 4,000 people she sent the emails to? Didn't they have copies of these emails?
Well, did they know who she sent them to? I mean, do they have that? They don't have that information, do they?
They don't, but I thought the rub in that was that she was sending them to government employees unsecured.
Yeah.
Nobody in the government has a copy of an email from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton at the time?
I don't know. Isn't that interesting?
Well, and I didn't understand. Yeah. President Obama, in his office, had to have gotten an email from her at one time or another.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he come out and say...
Oh, he stayed out of that? I couldn't understand why he stayed out of it the way he did.
No, it was kind of strange.
Yeah, it was. I wondered about that.
And she never spoke about it.
No. I tell you, it was... You think back but there was so many things that went against her there toward the end. Comey thing, I think, was a disaster for her. And then, of course, the information that the Russians had that they were dripping out here and there. Yeah, it was really, it's really a study, isn't it, on what can happen?
And I think we'll find out here, hopefully, when this Mueller investigation is over, just exactly what did happen.
Yes, I'm really anxious to hear what he can come up with. It sounds like he's getting close to the president, and the president's trying to get rid of the FBI, and there you go.
You know, there's an interesting story today in the news. Now, again, I don't have the story in front of me. We talked about it a little bit before I went on air, but here's essentially the story. Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, and this is a bizarre story. I don't know what to make of it. Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor and Mike DeWine are the two candidates left for the Republican primary for governor. And apparently yesterday, in some meeting that was going on, Mary Taylor was speaking first, and there was somebody there from the DeWine campaign. And Mary Taylor was asked by the audience if who Governor Kasich had endorsed. And she said Mike DeWine. And apparently the DeWine person looked it up, or somebody looked it up, and said, no, he's backed Mary Taylor. So they told her that. And she says, I haven't talked to him in a year and a half. And when the governor heard that, Governor Kasich, he said, "I've talked to her many times in the last year and a half." What do you make of a story like that?
You know, I've often wondered what it was like between the lieutenant governor and the governor and what their relationship was. Evidently, not too good.
Well, I'll tell you, it shed some light on something for me.
Yeah.
Mary Taylor was on this show, I think January the 8th was the date, and I'm going to play this clip, Mary Ellen. I asked her if she thought Governor Kasich should run for president when he's out. And if you want to put the headphone up to your ear there, we'll hear the clip of what Mary Taylor had to say when I asked her that question on, I think it was January the 8th. At this point, do you think Governor Kasich will run for president?
I have no idea.
Would you bet more toward the yes or no?
Truly, honestly, I have no idea. I really don't.
Do you want him to run?
I have no idea.
Do you want him to run for president?
I don't think that right now that's what this country wants. And so I support President Trump, and looking forward to him continuing the agenda that he has outlined on the important work that they need to get done in Washington.
Well, that made sense to me when I heard that story this morning, Mary Ellen.
Oh, that's good, Scott.
That was an interesting an interesting moment in time.
Yeah.
Why do you think she and the governor are not on the same page?
Well, there's evidently something happened between them. I mean, we don't have any idea what it is, but they're not on the best of terms, evidently.
And yet he endorsed her.
Yeah, he probably thought he should, you know, but she evidently didn't want it.
Apparently not. those two should talk at some point. They should coordinate whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Our governor is about to leave office. Well, about a year he'll leave office. When you look back at the 8 years of Governor Kasich, what do you think?
Well, he's been very interesting. I've softened toward my feelings toward Governor Kasich in the last couple of years, really. I liked his stand against Trump, and I thought it was took a lot of doing to do that, and I was rather proud of him for it.
The big quote last week, or 2 weeks ago, when Trump made the comment about people from Africa and Haiti, which he may have made, he may not, who knows. But Governor Kasich said, when you get frustrated, sit on your hands and keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
That's interesting rhetoric. Do you think he's going to run for president?
Well, I think he's thinking about it. Well, you know, there's and people are positioning themselves all around the country, and it'll be interesting to see if he does or not. I felt that he sort of had it in the back of his mind to watch everything and then make a decision.
I tell you something interesting. Monday we had Governor Strickland on, who's a very nice man. And I asked him what he thought of President Trump, and here's a little bit of that clip. Governor Strickland, Monday, on this program.
Oddly enough, one of the harshest critics in the media of this Republican president, Donald Trump, is our governor, John Kasich. 2 weeks ago, when the vulgar comment that was or was not said about people from Africa and Haiti was made or not made by the president, Governor Kasich responded, "When you're frustrated, sit on your hands and keep your mouth shut." What do you make of that relationship?
Well, I think that was good advice. I do believe President Trump has brought discredit upon the office of the presidency. I do think he has a foul mouth. I do think he lies habitually. And I do believe that he is a bigoted, racist person. And I congratulate Governor Kasich for being willing to stand up to him. Now,
Well, yeah. He didn't mince any words when it came to what he thought. That was our governor, Ted Strickland, former governor. You know, he's the only Democratic governor elected in 31 years.
Is that right?
I was looking that up. Yeah, the last governor Democrat to be elected in Ohio before him was Celeste in 87.
That's when I was in there, yeah.
It's amazing.
It is, yeah.
Is Ohio a Republican state?
Oh, it goes back and forth. I think Ohio's a swing state. You know, it was looked at as being blue until the last election. Now they're calling it red. But it could swing right back, and I think it will.
Well, and that gets us to where we are. Before we talk about the Democratic side, which we'll spend a good portion of the program doing that, because there are a lot of Marian ties now on the Democratic side.
That's right.
And a new ripple with Representative Kucinich. But on the Republican side, we are down to two. Who do you think will eventually take that nomination?
Well, I thought all along it would probably be DeWine, but I, you know, it's hard for me to judge. I'm not a Republican, so, you know, I think the Republicans probably have a better feel on what's going to happen there than I do.
Is DeWine a good general candidate for the Republicans?
Well, I can't answer that. I can't.
Well, I do have one more clip that I do want to play here from Mary Taylor when she was on, because I asked her if she thought that Mike DeWine would back her if she does indeed take the nomination. And this is what she had to say. Mary Taylor, Lieutenant Governor, on this program earlier this month.
Final question. I certainly understand you're positive on winning the nomination, but we don't know what the voters will do. If Mike DeWine is the candidate for governor, would you vote for him?
I don't plan to be in that position because I'm going to win the primary. But I generally support Republicans. I want to learn more about what Mike DeWine has to say from a public perspective as far as what his positions are heading into the future. And I want to make sure that his perspective or what he believes are the solutions are aligned with mine. Because what I think is most important, I generally support Republicans. But what I think is most important is making sure that who our Republican nominee, their principles and values match mine, and that their solutions are going to be true solutions that will actually move Ohio into the future and just won't be more of the same.
We do have 20 seconds left, and I'm going to slip this one in. If Mike DeWine does not win, do you think he would support you, and would you ask for his support?
I think you should ask him that. I don't know.
Okay.
That was that. That seems like a tough race over there on the Republican side, that there might be some sharp elbows over there.
Well, you know, primaries are difficult. And I know you're going to get into the Democratic side here soon, but whenever I was in a primary, I did not like it because I felt like I was running against my own.
Well, wasn't it Ronald Reagan who said, thou shalt not speak ill of other Republicans?
Right,
And then I think President Obama used that when... Because I remember during the Obama-Hillary primary that it got kind of rough. And a lot of the Democrats were saying, hey, McCain's already the nominee over here. Stop tearing each other down. Mm-hmm. Because this is going to be fodder for him.
And Bill got, you know, Bill said a few things he shouldn't have.
He's I think sometimes, though, people forget that's her husband.
Yeah.
Or I said that, right?
Yeah,
it came out right.
You said it right.
I said it right.
Yeah, right.
You know, he is a former president. He would be out there campaigning for the Democrat.
Yeah.
But that's her husband, and when you say something nasty about her, he's probably going to take it a little more personally than he would. I always hear people say, and you were under Bill Clinton, that he had the best political savvy
Oh, he did. Sharp as a tack, you know?
Well, he was a Rhodes Scholar, was he not?
Oh, he was, yeah. I mean, geez, I always wished I could have tacked that on my resume. But he was, and people that didn't like him would talk to him, and they'd come away just smiling and would really like him, you know?
Well, the testament to that, to me, is his relationship with the Bushes.
Yeah, but he could make the best speech. I still think he could make the best speech out there.
He just, he was a great campaigner.
Yeah.
But not for his wife.
No, it got too personal. And it's like operating on your own relation. You just don't want the doctor operating on his own family.
Yeah. And maybe, do you think Hillary would have won if she had not been a first lady? If she had just come through the Senate and been Secretary of State, would she have won that election?
No, I don't think being First Lady had any... Well, I don't know. They held the affair against her more. I thought it was so unfair, but so many people, were upset with her because she stayed with him, which I thought was ridiculous. It was so strange. Yeah.
Franklin Roosevelt, LBJ, John Kennedy, Eisenhower, and Clinton, we all pretty publicly know they all had extramarital affairs.
Mm-hmm.
None of the wives left.
No.
So I don't know why they thought she would.
It was a different time. I mean... That is a different time than now, but I just wonder if it had happened now, if it would have had the same result. But what was so weird to me was the fact that Gore was so upset. He was terribly upset with Clinton, and he was, of course, running for president. And then now he and his wife are separated, and the Clintons are together. And it's such an odd study of what happened.
For those who have not read Hillary's latest book, What Happened, I thought one of the most interesting parts of that book was she finally addressed the talk of why did you stay with Bill? Is it just an arrangement because he was president? Mm-hmm. And she said, it's an arrangement. It's called a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is. Do you think they are... A typical married couple.
Oh, no, not at all. No, far from, you couldn't be and done what they've done. I don't think they're typical at all.
Do you think one could have done it without the other?
Well, they work together very well, and they're both tremendously intelligent. I mean, they worked well together. Yeah.
I always look at whoever's in office at that relationship, president and first lady,
mm-hmm.
with the travel and the work. I don't know how a marriage deals with that.
Well, a lot of marriages don't, I'll tell you. There was one time in one of my primaries, I think everybody got a divorce but me, And it's very hard on a marriage. I've always said if a woman wants to run for office and her husband doesn't want her to, it's not going to work out very well.
It's an interesting dichotomy.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Finishing up on the Republican side here of the governor's race, as I say, we did have Governor Strickland on Monday, and I asked him about Mike DeWine, and I just want to play that clip for the audience if they weren't listening that day. Governor Strickland on Attorney General DeWine.
Coming off the governorship of John Kasich, how do you think Mike DeWine will fare in a general?
My personal feeling is, and this is probably based on hope as much as any particular insight on my part, but I think the Democrats will win the governorship this time. I don't think Mike DeWine is going to be embraced by the people of Ohio to be Ohio's next governor, although he's well known and he's been a senator and he's been lieutenant governor, and he's been around a long time, but I think he's subject to a lot of criticism. I think the fact that he has used Ohio public tax dollars to involve himself in matters that are national and more relevant to other states, is going to come back to hurt him.
And that was Governor Strickland on Mike DeWine on Monday. And by the way, unfortunately, that was Governor Strickland hitting the buttons on his phone when the interview. That's tough when you're on a cell phone and you're trying to do an interview. That's what do you make of his assessment of Mike DeWine's candidacy?
Well, I think he's pretty on the button there. I think that was pretty good.
Are you confident this time that let me ask you this. How confident are you the Democrats will take the governorship?
I'm pretty confident, yeah.
When's the last time you were this confident?
Well, it's been a while. Let me think a minute. It's been a while, I tell you. Yeah.
It's an interesting side, and we certainly are going to get to the Democratic side here momentarily, but we have Mary Ellen through 2 o'clock today, so that's good. Let's go over to the I want to play this clip from Strickland first, because I did ask him if he'd ever run for office again.
The
answer was a little interesting. Governor Strickland from Monday.
So don't think you'll run again, but wouldn't totally close the door.
Never close the door. You know, I mean, I don't expect to. I'm not planning to. I don't think I will. As long as there's life and breath, there is a desire to be engaged and involved, and that's sort of where I am in my life.
He's at Harvard right now.
Oh, is he?
He's at Harvard teaching.
Good for him.
Yeah. But yeah. He will be back in Ohio in March, and he said he would stop by the studio here, so we'll be glad to have him. Anytime you can get a governor in the studio, that's a good that's a good day. do you see Strickland running again? That Senate race was kind of a heartbreak.
It was, yeah. He's such a good public servant. I would sure like to see him run again for something. What happens with even in the House? He was in the House for a long time. I wish somebody would beat Jim.
Jim Jordan.
Jim Jordan. I couldn't think of his name because I get so disgusted at him. Yes.
I think it was on the air, so I think I'm safe in saying this. Mike Thomas, head of the Democratic Party here in Marion, was on the program last Friday, and he said the reason they don't run good candidates against Jim Jordan is he's unbeatable.
Well, that's right.
In this area.
I know that. Now, does where Strickland lives, is his area still in that?
He's Columbus.
Way south of Columbus, isn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
He's down in the Appalachian area.
Yeah, he's moved a little south.
Yeah.
Well, Jim Jordan has been getting a lot of attention lately. We see him on.
I know he's being interviewed all the time, and he's such a disgusting person. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
He is. I have no respect for him.
What do you? When you see him on television, what do you see? I didn't see that one coming, but
I surprised you.
You
Scott.
Did. You did. We didn't even have to go to another race for that one. No. I don't. We must have never talked about Jim Jordan before.
I think we have.
Have we?
Yeah. I think we have.
Why do you think they're putting him on television? He's on CNN primetime. He's getting all these interviews.
Yeah, they have trouble getting him off. he talks and talks and talks.
Sometimes he's a little hard to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's radical, very radical.
Do you think he has high aspirations?
Oh, absolutely. He's probably planning on running.
Well, would if his seat went vacant, could a Democrat take it, or is this just Republican territory?
Oh, I think a Democrat could take it. You get the right Democrat.
But yeah. he's too well liked in this area to be beat.
Well, he's very strong.
He is.
Yeah. And he's so, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the right word. He would be very difficult to run against because of having been there quite a while. How long has he been there?
Oh, boy, I think a little more than a decade, maybe?
Yeah, well, you know, a decade, and you've done all these favors for all these people. And then his name is there all the time. And, yeah, it's he would be very hard to beat.
The times he's been on this show, it's always an interesting experience. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. One time we were talking about health care, and because he wanted Obamacare repealed out of there when they were having the debates on Obamacare. And he said, should somebody's house that is on fire be able to call and buy fire insurance? He compared health insurance to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little hard to follow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's...
He's hard to follow in a lot of things. I just can't... I can't agree with him on anything, you know.
We'll go a little early. We have 12 minutes left in this hour. If I have a question, by the way, 740-383-9944. The phone lines, I think, are open. 740-383-9944. Mary Ellen Withrow is the guest. But a lot to talk about on the Democratic side. Let's start with Rich Cordray. You, I believe, when you were here in December, had already endorsed him as your choice for Democratic in the Democratic primary. Why did you endorse him? Why did you feel he's the one?
Oh, he's got a tremendous background for being governor. All of his experience, it just can't be matched by anybody that's running. It can't be.
Is he somebody who could beat Mike DeWine in a general?
I think so. I know he ran against Mike DeWine for attorney general, but I think he's, if Mike DeWine is the candidate, I'm pretty sure that Rich could beat him.
There are women, Mary Taylor on the Republican side and Connie Pillich on the Democratic side. Do you think this women's movement will have any play on either side?
You know, I wondered the same thing because it seems to be very, very strong out there in the big cities. I was amazed again at the amount of people that were in the march on, I guess it was on Sunday, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Saturday.
Or was
Saturday.
It on Saturday?
Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I watched it on Sunday. But it was amazing to me. I was wondering the same thing, you know, if it was going to have an effect here in Ohio. And I don't know of anybody that I know that marched anywhere. But and I'm glad to see women getting in there. I think it's really good that they're running for office. But I think Rich Cordray has the background and the experience that is needed for being governor.
You were the first woman on the Elgin School Board. That is historic, still stands that way. We might get a call, so we might come back to this in a moment. So we are going to take the phone call. You are on the air with Mary Ellen Withrow. Go ahead, caller.
I'm on the air.
You're on the air.
I am hopeful for Cordray because what little I've seen him, and this goes back, I just can't believe it's been that long ago, on Jeopardy!, but then in some other newscasts and that, and he strikes me as being a person that puts emotions in neutral and puts logic, intellect into gear on any issue. So he, you know, keeps away from the emotional end of it and thinks purely logically. And
I think he's a very common sense man, and that's what has always impressed me.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully, when the dust settles this spring, Cordray will be the candidate.
Yes, I hope so, too.
Hey, thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Since we are on Rich Cordray at this point, we'll try to get all these clips out this hour so we can just talk the next hour. But I did ask Governor Strickland about Rich Cordray, and here's what he had to say on Monday.
Let's jog over to the other side, the Democratic side, which certainly got very interesting from a Marion perspective and a just general perspective last week. Rich Cordray has been seen as the front runner. Mary Ellen Withrow is his treasurer of his campaign, so I assume that's who she endorses for this run. What do you make of Rich Cordray?
Oh, I think he's a wonderful person. I have a long history with Rich. You know, we were elected at the same time. I was elected governor. He was elected treasurer of Ohio. And then when we had the unfortunate incident with our attorney general and that office opened up, I appointed Rich to be Ohio's attorney general. That was something that I did because I viewed him as an exceptionally bright, talented person. And then I have watched him as he has served our nation at the Consumers Council in Washington, D.C. And so he is incredibly gifted intellectually. He has experience. He is a good human being, ethical to the core, and I think is well prepared to lead Ohio into the future. Having said that, I know your mayor, Scott, is a good friend of mine. We go way, way back, and the person that he's running with, Connie Pillage, is also a friend of mine, and she's a talented, wonderful person as well. So I think the Democrats have some really good candidates, and I think whoever emerges, I expect that will be Rich Cordray, as a matter of fact, but regardless of which of the candidates emerges as the Democratic nominee, I think they will have a message that will resonate with the people of Ohio and that that they will win the governor's office.
And just if there's any ambiguity there, I do want to play this tiny clip because we did ask the former governor who he endorses in this primary, and here's that clip.
That being said, that you do believe Rich Cordray will get the nomination, out of the three that we've talked about, would he be the one you would endorse? Is he the one you would want to be the candidate?
You know, I've told Rich that I am pulling for him, and I'm saying that to you in a very, very public way. I don't know. I don't know that endorsements do a lot to affect election outcomes, but I can tell you that I will be voting for Rich Cordray.
And that's the governor.
Yeah.
What do you make of that, Mary Ellen? You've backed Cordray now, and now the former Governor Strickland backs him as well.
Yes, well, good.
Yeah. So he seems to have a lot of good support there.
He does. You know, as I've talked to people, there's a lot of people out there that know about him, and I was interested in a comment by somebody at Primrose. She said she saw the article in the paper, and she said, "I really like him," and that's the way you get little bits and pieces here and there from people, and he has a lot of support, I think.
And here are the notes. Mary Ellen, we're not going to let her go. She's going to stick with us till 2 o'clock after our 10-minute break. But just to be fair, if you want to listen to the entire interview with Governor Strickland, the entire 45-minute interview, it is on the website, WWGH1071.com. But for those of you who do like Dennis Kucinich, I did ask him about Dennis Kucinich, and here is what Governor Strickland had to say.
An interesting ripple in that primary last week was the reemergence of Representative Dennis Kucinich into the Democratic primary. What did you make of that, and what part do you think he will play in this Democratic primary? Got a lot of attention last week.
Well, Dennis did get a lot of attention, and here again, I know Dennis well. We served in the House of Representatives for many, many years. I consider Dennis a friend. I really admire this man. He as you know, came from extreme poverty and has worked hard on behalf of less fortunate individuals throughout his entire public life and career. I agree to the debate. I think he will make sure that the Democratic Party during this primary season and going forward pays attention to the needs of the most vulnerable in our society. As I said, you know, we've got some strong contenders for the governor's office. I do believe that Rich Cordray will emerge as the ultimate winner, but I believe that these other candidates have a lot to contribute.
You know, I think the former governor, got it right there, the debates. Dennis Kucinich is going to be a strong debater. Do you think that, Mary Ellen?
Well, you know, I don't know how strong he's going to be. He's had experience, which is true. But I still think Rich is going to be just fine in the debate department.
Yeah, anybody who can, and this sounds trivial, but anybody who can go on Jeopardy and do that knows their stuff.
Yeah.
But the debates will be interesting, I think, on both sides, because mm-hmm. I don't think Mary Taylor's going to get out, so I think you're going to have... Mm. But the first time those two get on a stage, DeWine and Taylor should be an interesting night.
Yeah.
And Pillitt, I believe, and maybe I'm wrong here, that by the time we get to May or late April, I think we'll be down to Pillitt, Cordray, and Kucinich. Do you think the others will stay in for the debates?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the other person. What's their name?
You know what? I'll look at that during the break.
Yeah, I really don't know him, and I can't make a judgment there.
I think wrapping up this hour with a minute left, and next hour we'll talk about our mayor getting in the race, and we will talk about Dennis Kucinich getting in the race. But a lot of positive feeling toward Rich Cordray, certainly from the former governor. When you were sitting down to make your... choice. What stuck out about Cordray?
Oh, it's his experience. I mean, there's no comparing his experience. You know, he's held all these different offices that give, and then the federal government, running a department in the federal government that was a new department that was being created by him and Elizabeth Warren actually created it, but he carried it on. I mean, think about that experience, that, and that's what you need as a governor, to understand all facets of government. You have to understand local government. You have to understand the federal government because you're running the state government.
Since last we spoke, Josh Mandel got out of the Senate race, so no questions about that. But what do you think the Republicans are going to do there? Do you think they're going to try? Are they going to push to try to unseat Sherrod Brown?
Well, they probably will. I think Sherrod's going to win, too. I think that somebody dropping out of your race, it really takes the momentum out of that side, and they're going to have trouble.
Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was really surprised.
That happened just a few days after we spoke?
Yeah, I would have never guessed that to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's going on the inside, you know. You have to know the inside information.
When you sit down and look every day at the news, what is the big story that's fascinating you right now?
Mueller.
Yeah. What do you know? He subpoenaed Bannon. We're finding out all these things.
Yeah.
What do you think's going on there? I heard somebody Friday night say that, I think it was on CNN, that they're investigating Trump's business dealings with Russian oligarchs, which has nothing to do really with election interference, but something that shouldn't have happened if it did.
Right. Yeah, they're probably going to find some things that really are a surprise.
You know, a lot of people talk about this Trump effect, and Ohio did go solidly with President Trump in the election. What do you think that was? Other states, I mean, Clinton won the popular vote, but she never had a handle on Ohio. Why was Ohio so Trump?
Well, I think most of the people that I know that voted for Trump, they were disgusted with the way government was running, and they wanted to see a change. And they thought Trump could be that change, but the man can't do anything. He can't negotiate. He claims to be the great negotiator. He can't negotiate. He doesn't know what's going on. He was a nothing in all of these bills he's tried to pass. He didn't understand them. He didn't know how to work this or work that with the House and the Senate. It's been ridiculous, and I think a lot of people have realized that he's just not knowledgeable enough to handle being president.
There was a poll yesterday, very early, but they put Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, and I believe it was Bernie Sanders up against Trump, and all three of them beat him.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Really?
So, you know, who knows what'll happen in 2020?
Yeah.
Who knows if he'll even be there?
Yeah.
We'll all find out. Mary Ellen Withrow is the guest, though, 40th Treasurer of the United States. We're going to break for 10 minutes, but boy, do we have a lot to talk about next hour. Our mayor getting in the race, Dennis Kucinich in the race, and anything else. So stay tuned. WWGH Radio back in about 10 minutes.
5. Webpage, crtmechanicals.com.
Does it seem everyone is mumbling? Are you constantly asking people to repeat themselves? Is it a struggle to hear on the phone? Do you experience ringing in your ears?